listening to Not So Live from Asteroid G, going to the store and buying all the sour Skittles. I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Hey, everybody, Mike the Ghoul here. I'm going to boldly go where no one has ever gone before. Or is that a different movie in deep space? I'm not sure.
They're all the same. I'm sure they're all the same.
Yeah.
We are talking about Project Hail Mary, which came out in theaters just a couple weeks ago. And now that we are both caught up on this movie from the same author, Andy Weir, as The Martian, we figured we should have a little chat about it.
Yeah, and it was a visually cool movie. It wasn't, you know, your Christopher Nolan kind of visual epic kind of thing, but it was a good movie. I enjoyed it. I was entertained. I thought it was fun. I had a good time with it.
Yeah. The movie is about an astronaut, well, not even an astronaut, a school teacher who gets sent out unwillingly into space to help with a mission because every star in the galaxy is dying. And the reason why is bacteria, functionally. Space bacteria that are eating the stars. And if no one does anything to stop it, then life will die in, like, I think it's like 40 years or so, basically.
Something like that. Yeah.
So, like, it's bad. So to fix it, they have to harness the power of the space bacteria, which, when you explode them, they blow up good, to travel across the stars to get to the one star that for some reason is not dying and figure out why.
Yeah. Interesting story on how they got there, right, too? Because, like, he wakes up, like, he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know what's going on. Like, he's in this strange, like, space. He doesn't get it. Like, I knew a little bit of the book. There was more of, like, him regaining his consciousness in the book that I wish we got in this to kind of see that real, like, isolation that he really felt that came across in the book. But it was still pretty cool, like, his figuring it out. And he's a smart guy, and I think he was the right kind of character for this. Like, even Ryan Gosling cast as this, like, I could buy a guy, you know, that is like that, is handsome, and, you know, that played fucking Ken and Barbie could also play a brilliant, you know, scientist that just enjoys teaching. Well, like, I could buy that.
I think that benefits from the fact that he is written in the movie. I'm not about sure of the book. I haven't read the book, but he is written in the movie as kind of goofy and not so serious. So he's not a standard scientist. I don't think I'd buy Ryan Gosling playing, like, a nuclear physicist who's, like, really straight-laced. But this guy who has some interesting ideas and kind of goofs his way into science, but who mostly works as a school teacher, I'd buy Ryan Gosling as that. I can see him in that role.
Exactly. I thought it was cast very well. You know, we talked about another movie recently where the casting just felt off, you know, with who the character was. This one felt like they got it right. It was the new Blade Runner, like, how he didn't feel right in this role, but he felt good in this one.
I mean, I liked him in the new Blade Runner, but he was definitely playing against type for who he was.
Mm-hmm. Before we continue, we do want to pause real quick and give a recognition to this week's sponsor, Cyberdyne Systems. Cyberdyne Systems, building the future tomorrow, today. Thank you, guys.
I think what gets most people interested in this movie isn't necessarily the science, which is sad because I was interested in the science. But it is definitely...
The science was cool. It was cool.
What gets most people hooked on this movie is Rocky. The alien that he, like, Ryan Gosling's character meets when they're out in space at Tau Ceti, I think is what it was. That's the star in the planet that isn't dying. And Rocky is a fantastically done, like, puppet creation of a silicon-based rock alien. And the movie gets a lot of material out of the interactions between Ryan Gosling and Rocky and just their dynamic. And, like, it becomes a buddy cop movie, almost, a buddy science movie.
Yeah.
That helps to drive the whole story, which is great. I really like that. And I think that's what they definitely focus the story on, especially in the cut of the movie that we got here. I think, from what I understand, the original cut of the movie is like 4 hours, and they had to cut down a lot, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of what you said, that him waking up in the movie and probably all of him sciencing the shit out of things, to use the Martian term. That feels like it kind of ended up on the cutting room floor here.
Yeah, you know, there's only so much exposition you can get away with in a movie of just, you know, it's really difficult to have a movie be like solo for a very long time, especially, you know, when it comes to talking to an object. My brain goes straight into like Castaway, you know, and Tom Cruise's performance in that. Like, those movies are few and far between. This wasn't going for that vibe, and I'm glad that they didn't try to like give us more of that in this cut of the movie. I would like to see a grimier, dirtier cut of him, you know, maybe having some trauma and figuring it out, but that that's just, I want to see more of the acting range. That's all that is.
I agree with you. I think, like, I personally would love to see the, like, ultra director's cut of this, where there's, like, mm-hmm. 4 hours of him doing science and regaining his consciousness and doing all the stuff that's in the book that we didn't get here. That sounds interesting to me. I don't think that would have played with general audiences at all.
No, there, you can only do so much of that nerd shit for your typical audience. The people that want to see that will purchase it and seek it out. Like, you just put it out and your audience will find it.
Yeah, I mean, they had to do the same thing in The Martian. The Martian is really just one dude on a planet mm-hmm. by himself, having to do mm-hmm. science and talking to himself the whole time. And they mm-hmm. still cut out portions, especially near the end, of him doing extra science-y things. So it's like, you know what? We've scienced enough in this movie. And that's fine. That's how that works. But this one definitely felt like I was missing some of that science. And that was my big knock about it when I reviewed it initially, was I love the dynamic between him and Rocky. I think they're great. I think the puppet is great. I think everything going on in there and how they figure things out is fantastic. But it does feel very surface level.
Yeah. And very cool job, you know, with Rocky too, you know, being controlled by five puppeteers. Like, there wasn't a whole lot of CGI there. Like, it was practical. It was very cool to see, like, you know, that kind of craft put into a movie. And maybe that snapped $100 million off the fucking budget to make the thing then, because it's moderately done at like $200 million to $248 million, depending on where you look. So that's not bad.
And they should make their money back. I think this movie's on track to make like $600 or $700 million. So by Hollywood math, it's going to at least a modest success. And this is one of those ones I think people are going to end up going out and buying on home video. Like, not mm-hmm. everything gets that at this point, but, like, I know my wife, the second we were done the theater, she looked at me and goes, "You're going to buy this, right?" I go, "Yes, don't worry. I was going to buy this one anyway," but mm-hmm. normally she doesn't care, but she loved this one almost as much as she loves How to Train Your Dragon, which is a huge bar uh-huh. for her. She's like, "I really mm-hmm. want this movie," and I think there's going to be that reaction from a lot of people because of Rocky. Because he's the baby Yoda of this film.
He is, and somehow is ever so much more charming than I think we're going to get the Grogu in The Mandalorian. So Rocky was fun. Like, I enjoyed, you know, it being just this five-legged rock that is a brilliant scientist on their homeworld and all that. Like, and the communication with the echolocation was a very cool idea. It was just really, the dynamic between the two of them was super, super cool. It was a real, like you said, buddy cop kind of thing, but not like good cop, bad cop. It was very like Starsky and Hutch mm-hmm. kind of almost. I think it's the vibe I got from it. So it was very cool. With much smarter Starsky and Hutches, but you get what I'm saying there.
Much smarter. Although I did love that sequence where they're throwing objects back at each other, and like, they throw the first one, it goes too fast, and they throw the next one much slower, and he looks at it and goes, "He thinks I'm an idiot." Which, fair.
Yeah, fair. Humor transcends language and transcends species, right?
Yep. That was like, there was a lot to like in this one. It's a hard mm-hmm. movie to discuss without spoiling too much, and obviously the movie's still fairly fresh, but we've covered much we can. But I do like the way it's structured, with him out in space when we start, and then we go cut back to his times on Earth beforehand, so we can see the build-up to him getting out mm-hmm. there, and the twists and turns there, and some of the interactions he has as he does his science thing on Earth. He's a very goofy character, and that section sells it well, but we also get to see some buddy dynamic when he's like working with that security agent who's like, "I have an unlimited budget, what do you want?" And they're just doing things. Like, the two of them working together was fun and gives you that taste of what was eventually to come with him working with Rocky.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. You definitely got that feel for sure. And it was a good dynamic between the two of them. And Ryan Gosling, he's just a likable guy. Yeah. And he is not, in any recent movie that I can think of, not at least given his all effort as him. Him as an actor. You know, even the movies that haven't been great, like, he's been good. So he's quietly raising the bar, I think, on my expectations for him. He's been very impressive for quite a long time, but he just continues to get better with age. I think he's like maybe one of the next like Tom Cruises that we grew up watching. Like, you know, we'll see him acting into his 60s and still like, you know, killing it.
Yeah.
To a degree.
I haven't heard anything bad about him, which makes him a better actor than some of the guys that we've discussed here on the past. Tom Cruise has his sins, and we're obviously never going to touch the likes of, like, Kevin Spacey at this point. I don't want Ryan Gosling to come out as another Spacey. I want him to be a nice guy into his 70s, you know?
Exactly. Like, I could take him even being like, you know, a Jack Nicholson type that just like got really weird in his old age, but you still love him for what he was, but stays out of the spotlight just enough where you remember. Like, let's hope he doesn't turn into that. But don't give me, don't turn out to have, you know, a disk drive nobody wants to see.
Yeah, I'm perfectly okay with Ryan Gosling turning 80 and then just going and wandering around his 500-room mansion by himself into his golden years. You know, that is fine, so long as he remains a good guy.
Yeah, and you know what? My man wins at life too. He's married to Eva Mendes. Like, he's got a couple kids. Keep on going, man. You're doing all right.
But no, like I did enjoy this movie. I can actually. I'm a huge fan of The Martian, so I read that book and I watched that movie, and I thought those were great. I know there's a book that comes out between these two, that one that was called Artemis, and that one was pretty well critically panned, but I think they were gonna make a movie based on it, and then that one's been in development hell since the novel came out. I can kind of see why they went with this one first instead, because if Artemis is as weird of the book as everyone has said it is, it definitely wouldn't be as commercially interesting. You guys might get audiences into see Artemis now just because of the fact that they liked Project Hail Mary.
Quite possibly, yeah. And you know, Artemis is a real life thing right now, as our astronauts are out there, you
True.
know, in the
Different Artemis,
Artemis
but
too.
yeah, different
Yeah,
one, but sure.
coming back, you know.
Sure.
So I'm very excited for that landing tomorrow. That should be. I'm actually gonna watch. I didn't even. I feel like, not to tangent off, but while we're talking about space, like, I feel like that should have been more of a thing in the lead up. Like, where the fuck are we right now that like we're actually going back to the moon and doing a circle loop about it? And I hear about it like the day of the launch. Like, there was nothing leading up to this. Like, Jesus.
My wife was interested in it. She's been following it the whole time. I people in space. That's cool. I don't need to watch it. I'm not directly involved, so I mean,
It's just cool to see. It's cool to see. Like, we, you know, they're looking to build a base on the moon and, you know, go to
it's very
Mars and all
cool.
that other
It's very
random
cool.
shit. It's stuff that you saw in movies that we've seen a billion times that, like, maybe we're actually going to see in real life, which could be kind of neat. Let's just hope the stars don't decide to start dying and eating themselves, and otherwise, we're definitely fucked.
I don't know. I guess I have a different perspective. Like, I like science fiction, but I have a different perspective on like local space because my dad used to work in the Navy space program, so he put up satellites that he couldn't talk about because they were all, you know, classified. We just knew he was putting them up there. But like, you know, when you have a dad who's like, "Yeah, I was talking with the admiral when we were putting this one up," and as the rocket launches in the sky, I look at him and go, "Yeah, you're never getting that one back." Just like. I mean, he's right. You're never getting it back. That's kind of the point, but.
Oh, that's good. That's good though. But I mean, it's true, right? You know, we all have, you know, someone that we've known that, you know, has something they can't talk about. But that's interesting that it came from your dad. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no. So, like, I like the Artemis mission. I think that's really cool that it's going on. I think I have a different level of investment from some people do. I'm much more interested in like the sci-fi, the futuristic stuff that I'm hoping we get like 20, 50 years from now. Project Hail Mary is nicely grounded enough that, you know, in the right setting, I could see that actually happening for us in like 10 years and sending someone halfway across the galaxy based on the propulsion of space bacteria.
I mean, yeah, you know, it's maybe it was space yeast or something. Yeast rises and
Something.
bubbles. I don't know. Maybe
They're
that's where the
little.
propulsion
They're
came from.
single-celled somethings that are feasting on a star. I think. I know he has a specific name for them, but I mean, functionally, they're space bacteria.
Astrophage.
That sounds like space bacteria.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It sounds very much like space bacteria.
Space bacteria. That's what it is. Little black space bacteria, and then you hit them, and they explode, and boom. So, and that's your propulsion. And I think the least grounded part of that movie isn't the space bacteria propulsion, because, you know, it's a step by step they lead you into it. It's the fact that they cryogenically freeze people to go across the stars. And I get why they do it, because the inertia of what they're doing is so fast that you wouldn't survive that normally. But we don't have the technology to do that right now. Like, we can't cryogenically freeze someone and then wake them up later. We can freeze people, they don't wake up from
We're
it.
getting there. We're getting there.
I'm not sure we're there anytime soon. The freezing part we could do, that's easy. They're a little freezer burned afterwards, though, is the problem.
The defrosting is the problem. It's not the frosting of.
No.
So.
The body doesn't survive the frosting, but we could do it, and that's what.
Yeah. It's a choice. I mean, but I mean that kind of track's real, right? Though, like, is if and when we do figure out how to travel at that kind of speed as a species, you know, if we see that, we are probably gonna have to go into some kind of like cryostasis or some kind of like induced coma or something to deal with the stress that it's gonna cause. So, I mean, I think there's some fact in there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, this movie doesn't delve into what kind of dampening system did they have, how were they handling the inertia or anything. It's just like he's asleep, he wakes up, he's there. Two other people don't survive. That felt realistic, but like we gloss over a lot of like how that works, which is probably in the book but isn't here. And like again, I want it in the movie. Most people probably don't care. They didn't even think about, oh, they just froze them. That's cool. Okay.
I want to know the science behind it too, because like the more we see of stuff like that, like it's stuff we may see in our lifetime. So
Maybe.
touch on it a little bit more, you know,
Maybe.
maybe.
Yeah, we just need space bacteria to show up so we can travel the stars.
I mean, you know, who knows?
That'd be awesome. Because we're not doing it right now with the technology we have. Come on, people. Let's get further out there.
I mean, we're too busy deep faking AI pasta eating videos and bullshit like that. Like, it's like we have all this wonderful technology at our
No.
fingertips,
And
and people just want to use it for stupid shit.
that's not the Star Trek utopia we were looking for, you know?
Is not. Not one bit.
Anyway, no, I really did enjoy this movie for what it was. I like plenty of people have liked it, have loved it. It's not a love for me. My wife loved it. But like I'm missing that science that I think is in the director's cut that I want to see. But even at that front, like it's a really good movie, even if it doesn't like get stellar ratings from me.
I agree. I think this is a solid like B minus movie. You know, the director's cut and like might push it up to like, you know, a B plus A minus kind of area if we get more of the science, more
Yes.
story in some kind, and they
Yes.
make it interesting rather than just tack on, just to tack on. But it was a good movie. We've seen some shit movies lately. Like this was one that like, you know, not much is worth the price of admission anymore. I paid to see this movie and I didn't regret it. I'll leave it at
No.
that.
Yeah, no, it was good for what it was. I enjoyed it. It's a solid 2.5 hours that entertains straight throughout. And you do get a good buddy experience between Ryan Gosling's character and Little Rocky, and I liked that. And it will probably be a better dynamic than we get in The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Probably, but we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I don't have high hopes for that movie. I love Pedro Pascal. Baby Yoda's cute, but we didn't ask
Boy,
for it, and
yes. Yeah.
I don't think we need it.
I'd rather have a second Project Hail Mary than that movie at this point.
Yeah, I'd be on
Yeah.
board with that. You know,
Yes.
show me the trip back, you know, after teaching all the children over there and all that. Like, it could be pretty cool. Like, you know, what did they teach him that he could bring back? You know, extend the story a bit. It'd be interesting.
This has been Not So Live from Asteroid G, flying to another alien's planet and going, Adrian! I'm your host, Mike Finkelstein.
Your buddy Mike the Ghoul here, just gonna agree with this and say, we did
We will see you all next time.